Randy has titled his sermon today, Following a Bright, at Times Dim Star. And the two scriptures are from Isaiah 60 and then Matthew 2. Isaiah 60, 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Maybe some of us are experiencing Christmas blues, because after many days and weeks of anticipating Christmas and buying gifts and getting the Christmas tree decorated, we are now done with Christmas. Well, that is, done with Christmas according to the calendar in here in America. But it might be good to remember this morning that Christmas is not over yet. Indeed, Christmas is a 12-day festival that began Christmas Day and ends in about, 3 days, January 5th. 2 days. Christmas in the Christian calendar is 12 days, and it ends on the eve of Epiphany. Does anybody know what Epiphany means or stands for? Maybe we've heard that word. I just had an epiphany, a sudden awareness. Epiphany comes to us and is celebrated in the Christian calendar as celebrating when the three kings came on camels and came to worship the baby, to worship Jesus. Jesus was not a baby at that point, though. Jesus was a young child when the three wise men came and celebrated this King Jesus. So we're in this season of Christmas. Indeed, Christmas is not over yet as we celebrate the Christian calendar. So I hope nobody took their Christmas tree down yet. And it's interesting, actually, in many countries where Christmas is celebrated around the Christian calendar, they won't put their Christmas trees up until Christmas Eve. And that's when they decorate their tree too. And then they're very intentional to keep their Christmas tree up until the eve of Epiphany. And I think part of what that says is that they celebrate the season of Christmas not by the way it's often been co-opted here in America, but that they are remembering that this is a season that has been celebrated and started in the Christian tradition around the 5th or 6th century. And by celebrating the 12 days of Christmas, they're remembering that in a special way. So it's okay if you took your Christmas tree down already, too. As I was preparing for this sermon, I was struck by an article that I read in the Christian Century by Joanna Harder, who is a pastor at Peace Mennonite Church in Lawrence, Kansas. She explores these Epiphany texts with some of her own story and interweaves them together in a powerful way. She writes about a time when a professor that she didn't know very well, in fact, she says, I didn't even have a class with this professor, came to her and asked her, what made you and your husband decide to adopt children in the foster care system? She notes in her article how this question kind of came to her as a surprise. She wasn't expecting this professor to ask that because she didn't really know him that well. And as she thought about that question, all she could respond was just simply, God. God. She writes, perhaps it was an odd response, but it was the only honest one that she could give. In this Epiphany season, many would expect a decision as big as adopting from the foster care children, that you would have this sudden light or sudden awareness or very clear calling that God is calling us to adopt. That there would be this person, maybe a spiritual director, that would come and say, I think that that's what God's calling you to. It's very clear. But that was not Joanne's experience. She writes about feeling mixed emotions, about no voice from heaven, no angelic vision, not even a series of inexplicable coincidences. She says it was like just a dim gleam on the horizon. A slow but steady wind blowing in a certain direction. An accumulation of prayers and conversations that seemed to just slowly nudge her and her husband down the blessed and yet difficult path of adoption. I was impressed and struck by her sense of honesty and own vulnerability. I felt like it gave space to the times when it's not so clear what we should do or how we should follow Jesus, to the sometimes unclear and dim light. And yet there's still that nudging, that slow and steady awareness that God was calling them to something, even when they weren't exactly sure what that was. It gave space to sometimes the fear or the questions on the journey as we follow this star. And in the end, it acknowledges that the only answer was God. God somehow still led on. And so we have in these texts today these images of light and a star that was followed. And I think it's true, when we think of epiphanies, we often just think of this idealized sudden awareness. This very clear knowledge that now I know exactly where God is leading me. I see the star, it's a bright star. And it's this sudden awareness that launches us confidently on the journey into 2016. How many of us are feeling and aware of that bright star this morning? And indeed, I think that's part of what we all want. We want to know exactly the direction and path that we should go. If God is indeed calling us to certain things, or certain people that we should get to know, or certain ways that we should use our money to support different missions, then who wouldn't want clear direction? Or maybe it's a job that we're discerning whether we should take or not. Who wouldn't want clear epiphanies? And yet, that's not often how it works on the journey. In the Isaiah text, we read words of confidence and boldness and clearness in the reading from Isaiah. Arise, shine, says the writer of Isaiah, for your light has come. Imagine with me, you're a captured Israelite living in exile. And this word of hope has been given to you. Arise and shine, for your light has come. It's certainly an epiphany moment, probably, for the captured Israelites. And in that time, they were probably imagining an immediate burst of light to drive out all the darkness of captivity and exile. And I wonder, as they're on their long trek from Babylon to Jerusalem, as they're returning home, what they're imagining. Will it be a glorious vision of camels and wealth and light that pushes them through those hot days of traveling back home? As they walk toward scenes of jubilant parades of welcome home, banners stretched across their streets as they come home again. Their old houses ready and waiting for them. Their old jobs available to jump right back into. Their old friends gazing towards them, welcoming them home again. Is that the kind of epiphany that Israel experienced as they returned home from exile? I don't think that was quite their experience. There is probably a rundown city, a temple in ruins. Yes, the glory of the Lord was there, amidst collapsed buildings and glimpses and glimmers of divine light. Yes, they were home, but maybe home wasn't quite how they imagined it would be. Now to the story in Matthew. Why did the Magi leave home? Leaving the comfort of their home, when the king that they were called to go and worship wasn't even a king in their own story. They were not Israelites. They were not from the Jewish tradition, these Magi. They were from different countries and different cultures. Why would they leave the comforts of their home and risk a dangerous journey to go and worship this king, Jesus. I wonder, as the Magi were on their camels and following this light, this star, if it was sometimes tricky to notice or hard to follow. We read that they make it as far as Jerusalem before they have to stop and ask for directions. They have to stop and ask directions from Herod until they continue on to Bethlehem and find the place where the star rests, where the King Jesus is. And yet they had to have been surprised. The king is a child. Who saw that one coming? It must have seemed odd, right? That they bring these gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh for a small child. Legos might have been a little more appropriate to celebrate for Jesus. Despite the dim and fickle nature of the light sometimes of the star, despite the age of the boy and the, I'm sure, shock, despite the exhaustion of their camels and the blisters on their feet, they still know and trust that this is where God has led them. And they are overwhelmed with joy. And so we have these two texts in Isaiah and Matthew. And we have this season of Epiphany, where we want to be aware of where God is leading us, of how we also follow this bright star. And yet, sometimes maybe the star isn't as bright as we hoped it would be, or the star led us in a direction that we didn't expect. Here we are this first Sunday in 2016. We look with gratefulness or sadness or a mix of emotions to what 2015 had for us. And in anticipation, with excitement and fear of what 2016 may hold. We have college students back, Allison, Micah, Mia is not here. We have, I might be missing some. Who else am I missing of our college students? Matthias, Rebecca. You guys are in the middle of a semester. You experienced, you know, one semester of hard work. And now you anticipate what the next semester is going to hold. And I know what January brings. Syllabus shock. I've done it too many times. You realize it's going to be a lot of work. And so you're also anticipating what the new year is going to bring for you. Do you ever, as we're following this star and anticipating the new year, I wonder if we also need to stop and ask for directions sometimes, just like the Magi had to stop and ask Herod for directions. As bright as the star seems, and as much as we want to know exactly where God's calling us to, the reality is we need each other to figure it out. We need to ask each other for directions sometimes. We have to do this together, to point each other in the way, to encourage one another, to love one another, to maybe give someone some direction. It's completely appropriate in our church community here to go to someone and say, you know, I really see these gifts in you that God has given you. Have you ever thought that maybe God's calling you to this or giving this a try? That's what the church community is for. Or maybe when someone has really lost hope and is just going through a really difficult time, this is when we come together and support them and show them extra love and care, or maybe provide a material blessing for them. That's part of following this bright star together. As I think about what those three magi did as they left their homes, they went to find this king. They were sent out to go and find Jesus on the journey. And I think this is what God is calling us for in 2016 as well. That we are sent to go and find the King Jesus. That on the journey, we're going to have some hard times. Sometimes the star might seem kind of dim. And yet we go together to go and find the risen Lord. Even when we find Jesus to be unexpectedly different than what we thought. Can you hear the wise men in their surprise? Oh, this is the King. God might surprise us this coming year. Can we be a people of surprise? I go back to the writing from Joanna Harder at the end of her article that she wrote. And she says, when people ask why did you leave a life of comfort? Why did you head out into the desert? Why have you come here of all places? She says, we want to give a good and reasonable answer. My husband and I want to say, we followed a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. Or we followed the glory of the Lord. Or a voice came to me as I was studying scripture, and it was clearly written in the sky. But she acknowledges we usually can't say those things. And even when we can, they do not represent the whole truth. Why do we take the journeys that we take? Why do we choose paths that wind us through stress and discomfort and heartbreak? Why do we move toward one particular... He says, there are many answers we can give, but if we are honest, we must simply say, God. And as we think about the journeys that we take in 2016 here, together take in 2016, as we maybe make some hard decisions together, as we explore where God is calling us to use our gifts together, as we worship God together, my prayer is that we would follow the bright star, the sometimes dim star, together. That we would be vulnerable enough to ask each other for directions sometimes when we're not quite sure where to go or how to get there. That we may simply say, in the confusion and sometimes the doubt, God is still leading on. God is still leading on. Let us pray. God, thank you that you are the light of the world, that you give us this light to follow. We acknowledge that sometimes the light seems a little dim, that there are some fears on the journey. We're not always quite sure where to go. And sometimes we need to stop and ask each other for help of how to get there. God, I pray that in this new year, may your grace and love give us the courage to follow you to places that might be uncomfortable or unexpected. God, like the wise men, may we be sent to find you and worship you. Jesus Christ, thank you, God, in this Epiphany season that your light is shining and that we have a community together to follow this light. Amen.